Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. It is currently Sunday, February 28th while we're recording, but it's March 1st when you're listening. Am I right?
You are right. You are right. It's anytime I hear March 1st, too, I just think of Justin Bieber.
Oh, happy birthday, Justin Bieber. Happy birthday, Justin Bieber.
I just have that date ingrained in my brain.
Do you know where exactly he was born, like the hospital and the floor and whatnot?
No.
You don't?
Hospital and the floor?
I was watching the Billie Eilish documentary this weekend, and she knew even the floor he was born on.
Oh my God, no. I don't know either of those details.
That's shocking. I thought you would.
No, I'm glad I don't.
I would be a lot. Do you know the Jonas Brothers at all?
No.
You don't know what hospitals they were born in?
How do you even know what floor? Where do you get that from?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if I heard it correctly, but Justin Bieber's birthplace hospital. I'm going to look it up.
Maybe it's in one of his documentaries.
In a documentary, yeah. I feel like that would make sense.
It's in Never Say Never or something.
Yeah, I can't. On a quick Google search, I don't see it, but I feel like...
Right. Well, she could have been doing some deeper sleuthing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it is March 1st when you're listening to this, and it's honestly about a week or 2 weeks away from a year ago when the world came crashing down and just came crumbling down. And that sounds morbid. That does. But it's the truth. And it feels like the year has absolutely flown by. I cannot believe, I didn't know we would ever make it a year. You know, at one point I thought I'm going to die before it's a year. So I'm happy we made it here. Oh, yeah, well, you never know. I could die in the next 2 weeks, knock on wood, but.
It is crazy that it's been basically a full year now. I think it was March 11th or 12th or something
It was March 13th that the NBA shut down.
One of the first things that I remember of it is when we made the Jersey Shore note to wash your hands. I'm like, that's when I really remember it starting. Remember that?
Yes, yeah. That was really funny. That was a good one. But
crazy.
It's crazy. I can't believe that congrats if you made it this far. Congrats if you're still listening to this podcast. And also, thank you to the people who have joined in on the journey from maybe the pandemic started. You were looking for new podcasts and you found Chicks in the Office, and that's great. We thank you for listening and supporting the show. So at least there's a positive that came out of it. I today made a list of all the shows I watched from March 1st, 2020 to March 1st, 2021. And I almost puked. It's almost too much TV. I think, I don't know. What else are we doing? We're watching TV. We talk about it every episode. But I feel like this list might help a lot of people who are, one, looking for show recommendations that we've both watched, because a lot of them we've all watched. And two, feel better about themselves for watching so much TV as well. So I'm going to go through every single show. And Fran, you say if you've watched it as well.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
One, Siesta Key.
Yep.
Two, Outer Banks.
Obviously.
Multiple times.
Yep.
Three, New Girl.
Yes.
Four, The Society.
Yes. Obviously.
Five, God. Little Fires Everywhere.
Yep.
Six, Dead to Me.
Yep.
7 Big Little Lies.
Yep.
8 Instant Hotel.
No, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good one.
Yeah.
9 The Babysitter's Club.
Nope.
10 Selling Sunset.
Yep.
11 Greek.
I have watched Greek before, not during this past
not
year.
Not during the year.
Yes, I have watched it.
Okay.
Yes.
12 Dave.
Never watched Dave.
Oh, you gotta watch Dave.
Yeah.
Dave's
yeah.
good. You gotta watch Dave. Yeah. 13 Parks and Rec.
Ah, yeah.
14 High Fidelity.
No, I didn't watch High Fidelity.
High Fidelity was good. Disappointing it never got renewed. I liked
yeah,
that show.
That's sometimes it's sad for me to start a show when I already know that it's over, you know?
Right. Like, yeah,
when
you see, don't know like, how it ends.
No, I know, but to hear it's not and it's not a knock on the show because all I've heard is people say how good the show was and that it was fucked up that it didn't get renewed.
Yeah.
But like when you hear like, oh, it didn't even get renewed for a second season, how could it have been that good?
You should watch the movie too.
Which is a lie though, because obviously we fight for the society every day. So right. I understand.
I have such a girl crush on Zoe Kravitz. I love her so much.
She's awesome.
16 Middleditch and Schwartz. Now I wasn't sure if I should include this as a show because it was 4 parts. More like it wasn't a documentary, but if I was including all the documentaries I watched too, then this list would be even longer. But I threw it in there. I threw it in there. 17, Some of Schitt's Creek. You finished Schitt's Creek.
I finished all of Schitt's Creek,
18, Stranger Things.
Yep.
19, White Lines.
No.
Oh, you should watch White Lines.
No.
I also want to mention that this list is in no particular order. It's not like best to worst or worst to best. It's kind of just how, when I was writing it down, like how I remembered.
How you remembered,
watching it. Or like,
which is interesting that Siesta Key was the first one you remembered. But I guess I feel like that's
the first
one
I watched,
right?
Yeah, it's the first one I watched in the beginning of quarantine. Yeah. So I kind of remembered the initial shows I watched in quarantine, and that's how I started. And then the rest is kind of jumbled all together.
Right.
So 19 White Lines, would recommend. It's crazy. A lot of it doesn't make sense, but I still think it's a good show. I think you would like that.
Okay.
20 Grand Army, which was a Noah recommendation.
Let me just say that it was like recommended. It was recommended kind of like, oh, you should like, it wasn't like, oh, watch this great show. It was kind of like, oh, it's a fun show. I wasn't saying it's a good, it's
no,
just
you
a show
were just
to put
like,
on
you're
the background. Yeah.
You're watching TV, watch Grand Army.
I'm not, anyone who's listening, like it's not the best show ever. Let me just say that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wish I gave a rating to each one, but that's a whole other episode. 21, Cobra Kai. 22, Queen's Gambit. 23, Emily in Paris.
Wait. I've watched all of those.
Yes.
I forgot
24, Bridgerton.
Yep.
25. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
I watched 5 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. I feel like that it has to be
that
on
counts.
The list. I didn't finish it. It counts.
Yeah, it deserves to be on the list.
Yeah. I'll finish it one day. It just got super depressing for me in a dark, when I was already in a dark time. So I had to take a pause.
Yeah.
26, Summer House. 27, The Undoing.
Yep.
28, The Flight Attendant.
I didn't watch Flight Attendant.
I would recommend other shows that you haven't watched that I've watched before. I recommend Flight Attendant. 29, Fate. 30, The Wilds.
Nope.
31, Firefly Lane. The Wilds I would recommend before
Firefly
The Flight
Lane,
Attendant.
Yep.
32, Temptation Island.
Yep.
33, WandaVision.
Yep.
34, Behind Her Eyes.
Have not watched that yet.
So Noah and I both watched that this weekend separately, not together, but that shit was nuts. I would say it starts off slow, and during it, you might be like, what's the point of this? But just keep going.
Honestly, if you hadn't said that to me, I probably would have, if I just watched it on my own, I might have like stopped. Because like it was very slow. Like to start,
but worth it at the end.
The end is definitely worth it.
Definitely worth the 6 hours you put in of being like this show is really slow. 35, Ted Lasso, watched this weekend. I liked it. 36, Chopped. Now, I didn't watch every single episode of Chopped,
right?
But I watched enough to put it on the list.
That's fair. That's definitely one that Joe and I would throw on, like. If we finished an episode of, like, we watched Ozark. And like when we would finish an episode or two of Ozark before we would go to bed, we'd just like throw on the Food Network to calm us before bedtime.
Yeah, it's a calming show. You watch it before bed.
Yeah.
37 Beat Bobby Flay. And I'd like to thank you and Joe for that one because I've never watched Beat Bobby Flay until I was with you guys and I was hooked.
Yep.
Shows, so that's 37. Now, shows I rewatched, but I'm counting in the list. 38 Entourage.
Yep.
39 Young and Hungry.
Yeah.
40 The OC.
Yeah.
41 Gossip Girl.
Yep.
42 Seinfeld.
Yep.
43 iCarly. Yeah. 44 Succession.
Yep.
And 45 What I Like About You.
Okay.
So 45 shows start to finish. Oh, well, some of them, I would say minus three shows start to finish.
Yeah.
That's a fuck ton of TV. Wait, that's a lot of TV.
I would love.
Oh, I didn't even count the Bachelor. So add the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, and Listen to Your Heart.
Yeah, like I would love to do the math behind that, of just like how many hours
I put in
each season, like for how many hours each show is, and how much that adds up to, which would be a lot of work because obviously different seasons, different run times, longer shows, shorter shows. In my journal that I actually do a pretty good job of keeping up on. We're going into March. I still write all my shit down.
Snap pause.
I know. I only gave myself one page for TV, like, and I guess I can use the back, but I think I'm going to have to extend it to something else because I just started for like shows that I've watched and finished in since the beginning of the year and starting of 2021, and then I do it where I have like a little check where I, when I finish it, I put it, I check and write down the date that I finished it. But yeah, I mean, even just like these, this is just two months of Bridgerton, Schitt's Creek, Mandalorian, Real Housewives of New York, Ozark, Cobra Kai, Salt Lake City Housewives, Chicago, Med, Fire, NPD, 911, and 911 Lone Star, Fate the Wings Saga, The Challenge, Double Agent, Summer House, Ted Lasso, The Great, Firefly Lane, Temptation Island, WandaVision, and I got Ginny and Georgia on here because I guess I got to finish it. But after one episode, I don't really know how I feel about it.
Fran, I put that on the other day and I just had to turn it off. I'm like, this is not
good. Did you make it to the end though?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was that not the most uncomfortable?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. That's part of the reason
teenage
why I'm like,
sex scene that's ever been played on television.
Yeah.
I gotta finish watching. I started it, but I didn't finish watching the first episode.
Oh, Rhea, you gotta get to the end of the first episode. And I'm not even giving anything away because it's just the end of the first episode. There have been moments where I have felt uncomfortable watching TV. This is up there in maybe my top three of all time.
Really?
It's excruciating.
I gotta watch when I get home later. Oh, by the way, we will not be talking about the Golden Globes on this podcast, but we did a live show after the Golden Globes. So you can go on YouTube and still watch that on our Chicks in the Office YouTube if you want to see us discuss the Golden Globes. It won't be discussed on this episode, but we still discuss it just on our Chicks in the Office YouTube. Yes. Now, Fran, out of the list of 45 shows I have down here, I want us to do a top five. I want us to do a top five of the ones we've both watched.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should include shows I rewatched, but I think if we're going to give a recommendation list, I think I need to, because then I would include Succession. Yeah. Like Succession would be number one for me out of all those shows. Now Entourage is far and away my most rewatched show of all time. I've rewatched that show at least 8 times front to back fully. I'm talking every single episode one to the end. Since 2013, I've watched it at least 8 times. So I would say that's my most rewatched show, every single episode, at least 8 times.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, like, I feel like I'm not going to go out there and be like, that's one of my top five. It's one of my top five of all time. But, like, for recommendations, I feel like people have seen it, whatever. Put it aside.
And Succession is still ongoing. Like,
yeah, it's ongoing. Yeah. It's present day. Entourage is in the past. So I'm not going to put that in the top five. I think I'm going to go Succession, Queen's Gambit.
Mm.
I'm not putting this in order yet. I'm just naming five. Succession, Queen's Gambit.
Wait, did you not watch Succession before, like, quarantine?
No, she did.
No, I did. This was a rewatch.
This is just rewatch. Okay.
Yeah, this was my rewatch, but I'm saying I'll throw it in the recommendation list because it's so good and it's ongoing. They're working on the third season now. So Succession, Queen's Gambit. What are we doing next? Outer Banks? Like, are we putting Outer Banks up there?
I mean,
we have to.
It's 100% on my list.
Yeah, it's... I literally was obsessed with that show. Like, obsessed through and through. Couldn't... I don't know. Like, I was definitely obsessed with it, and I still am, but I don't know if we were so obsessed because we had nothing else to live for. Like, we were inside. There was nothing. Well, like, we just had to pour our hearts and souls into Outer Banks. But still, put it in there. Succession, Queen's Gambit, Outer Banks. You got any recommendations that were thrown into this top five?
Mine...
We can have separate top fives.
Yeah. Mine probably... I would probably have Outer Banks, Bridgerton. Maybe The Great. I really liked The Great.
Retweet.
1, 2, 3. Queen's Gambit was great. I'm trying to think of ones that I really liked that maybe not a lot of people have watched. You know, like, because I feel like so many of those Netflix shows are everybody watched.
Little Fires Everywhere, I really liked.
Yeah, that was great.
This is tough because a lot of these I would put all in the same category for me, like White Lines. I would put White Lines above Cobra Kai, but like Fate, The Wild, Firefly Lane, you know, Behind Her Eyes, all those are kind of in the same
right. It's all Netflix
area for me.
Yeah.
But there's some that are just above. And so I think I'm going to go Succession, Queen's Gambit, Little Fires Everywhere. The Society. I need a five. This is so tough. Every show was so good.
You're really not going to put Outer Banks?
I did put out. Did I not put Outer Banks?
No.
Oh. So that's five. So I thought,
Succession, Queen's Gambit, Little Fires.
Outer Banks, Little Fires Everywhere, and The Society. Okay. Yes. That would be my top five in no particular order besides Succession being number one.
Yeah.
And Outer Banks probably number two. Queen's Gambit also is a close number two.
That's fair.
Dave also sneaky would like creep the top five list. That was like comedy wise, because a lot of these aren't really comedies.
Yeah.
Dave was funny and also emotional.
Did you ever watch Atlanta?
No.
Nope.
Oh, that's a good
one. I've heard really good things though.
Yeah. That's like Dave-esque. Like.
Yeah. Then I'm probably interested in that.
Yeah. Put it on a different list. Yeah, I can't. I guess I would really need to sit down and write also like what you did of everything that I watched in the last year, because I'm can't like right off the top of my head right now, like I can't think of everything.
The Undoing.
Definitely missing something.
Now I'm just ranking them all, but The Undoing was. Noah, what would you say about The Undoing?
Oh, I definitely enjoyed The Undoing. I thought it was
really
good.
You know what you didn't have on your list, Rhea?
What?
The Teacher.
Oh,
a teacher.
How did I forget?
A teacher.
That would be the last. If I was ranking every single TV show, A Teacher would be dead last, not even close. It would be every other show, big space, A Teacher, all the way in hell, because that show sucked so badly, but we couldn't look away, but it just was so fucking bad. That show was so bad. It was so, I was watching Firefly Lane and Hank was like, this show's like A Teacher. And I said, how dare you get out of the room? How dare you?
Not even close.
How dare you compare the two?
Yeah. Not even close. A Teacher, towards the end of A Teacher, it was just awful.
Once you forget one, it's like you definitely forgot more. Like, yeah, I definitely forgot more.
Definitely did.
But
how did you make the list? Like, how did you go back and remember everything?
So I remembered in July, I had tweeted like 12 shows that I watched. So I already had that list. And then I went, and then I saw that I had replied a bunch of times being like, I forgot this show, I forgot that show. So I had like at least 20 shows. And then I went on Netflix and I looked through every TV show and was like, oh, did I watch it? I went on Hulu and did the same thing. And I did it on HBO Max as well. I know that there must be some that I'm missing, but yeah, I'm going to lock in my top five. That's it.
Okay.
If I keep talking about it, I'm going to bounce around. A Teacher, Dead Last, Top Five, Succession, Outer Banks, Queen's Gambit, Little Fires Everywhere, and The Society. Dave gets an honorable mention, and The Undoing gets an honorable mention. And Behind Her Eyes would never reach the top five or six or seven or top 10. But the ending, if we were talking pure endings alone of a show, it would be in a top five, but not the whole show in general.
Okay.
You know, because some shows I feel like are really good, and then the ending is kind of like, eh. You know, yeah. Some people didn't love the ending of The Undoing. I won't spoil it if you didn't watch it. Some people didn't like it. Some people liked it. We liked it.
Yeah.
You know, not every ending of a show is satisfactory, but the whole show itself is. And then some shows are not great, but the ending is like on, like, I care. Right. Do you guys watch I Care a Lot on?
I have not watched it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I won't spoil it, but no, you would agree with me that like the ending of the movie was worth the entire movie.
Yeah. Like I would say even more than Behind Your Eyes. Cause Behind Your Eyes, like, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything.
Right. Not spoil it, but the end, there's certain movies and TV shows where the ending is just like worth the payoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that covers it all. So a lot of good recommendations in there. I know people have always wanted us to do like an entire list of TV shows that we've watched. So that's all in there. I tweeted it out too. So if you couldn't listen and catch each one, it's on my Twitter. Fran, you've watched so much Bravo, so I feel like you can recommend the good reality shows.
Right, I did do all of Beverly Hills and New Jersey, and am heading through New York right now at a rapid pace.
Right, so I feel like
yeah.
What would you rank a New Jersey?
Oh, what about
one?
The reality, like the Netflix shows you didn't have on there?
Oh, yeah.
Like Love Is Blind.
The Circle.
Those were before.
Were they? Love Is Blind was before.
It was before. The Circle was also before.
Too Hot to Handle?
I never watched Too Hot to Handle, which I know people would be shocked by. I never watched that. I thought about watching it the other day, but I feel like I know kind of what happened after people talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't really think it's worth watching now.
And add in like a billion YouTube videos. I've watched so many YouTube videos, so many YouTube podcasts, just so much screen time.
Yeah, that doesn't even count like the amount of time spent on TikTok.
Oh, don't even get me started. Yeah. Don't even get me started. just a lot of
screen time.
Our world has become a screen.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That's fine. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Yeah. So. Good for us. Good for everybody.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's time to... Well, Fran, actually, I never even asked you. How are you doing? I always ask you. I always ask you, and I feel like I didn't ask you this time. So how are you?
Yeah. No.
Talk to you every second. So
I know. Nope, everything good on the Fran front. Didn't really do too much. Had some yummy dinners this weekend. But other than that, all good.
It's always all good.
Yeah. Watch Nick Jonas on Saturday Night Live. It was nice.
All right. Well, speaking of that, let's get into the topics. Yeah. We'll talk about Nick Jonas on Saturday Night Live. Also, Justin Bieber announced he's releasing a new album called Justice. Rachel Lindsay deactivated her Instagram, and Emmanuel Acho will be hosting After the Final Rose this season. Lady Gaga's dogs were returned to her, and Chrishell Souse and Keo have broken up, and it's getting petty, it's getting shady, and it's getting messy. So let's get into it, starting off with Nick Jonas on SNL.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Nick Jonas was on Saturday Night Live this weekend. He was the special guest and also the performer. So, Fran, take it away. How was Nick Jonas on SNL? Rate his performance on a scale of 1 to 10.
Double duty for Nick. It was fantastic. Performances were, I think, the best part because I'm most excited for the new music. And this is the thing. He was great. I thought he did a great job. 10 out of 10 on the wigs. Whoever got him all of his wigs, he had some great wigs throughout the entire episode. But I don't know. It's just tough because there was a few skits, you know, that I was like, this is just not funny. Like, I was like, you know, Nick, I can give Nick the credit of his acting skills and doing a good job and like really committing to it. But there was moments where I was like, I'm just not laughing. I'm just not. There was a lot of like penis jokes. I don't really know what was going on. They had like this whole song.
You're not
like
into
they,
that?
They had like this whole boner song.
Oh, and I saw the part where they like showed him a picture of Priyanka and they were like, show us your penis.
Yeah, like the way Noah just said that
Jonas
did not
penis.
Yeah, the way he just said that made it sound like so random, but it was like a talk
it
show.
Really did.
It was like
They were like, this is your wife. Like that she's like really good looking and he's like, yeah, and they're like, okay, then show us your penis.
Yeah.
Oh, because they want to be like, oh, how big is your dick that you're dating, that you're married to Priyanka Chopra. Okay, got it. All right. Well, that's
but it's something
aggressive,
but
all right.
Yeah. Weirdly a lot of penis jokes. They did this like
pee-pee
Cinderella sketch that's just I don't know. Sometimes it's like I'm not vibing. I thought Nick did a great job. He had a good monologue. He had a special appearance from Kevin. Kevin was in the audience and was like, hey, Nick.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that one.
We're still good, right? Like, we're still in the band.
Classic.
And, yeah, of course it was Kevin, right? Like, oh, I just knocked the table. Of course it was
Joe
Kevin.
Joe wouldn't be caught dead doing that.
No. an easy trip for Kevin to drive into the city to make that one work. And it was very cute because Kevin introed his Nick's second song performance. So instead of like another SNL person being like, and now Nick Jonas, it was Kevin who got to intro him. That was cool. He sang Spaceman, obviously. And Spaceman. This is Heaven. Oh God, it's just so good.
Yeah.
And This is Heaven, which is going to be his second single or what second release from this album, which is very exciting. It was good song. I liked everything about it. Good vibes. I gotta listen to it again. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little intoxicated while watching this performance. While watching Saturday Night Live, you know, it was
good for you.
11:30 p.m. But I gotta rewatch
it. Saturday.
So I gotta rewatch it, but I really think I like the song. It has Jonas Brothers vibes, This Is Heaven. Like, it could be on Happiness Begins. It kind of sounded like it could have been on that album, which I love, obviously.
Now, where do you rate his SNL appearance on a scale of 1 to 10 overall? Be honest.
Performances, 10 out of 10. Hosting, I'll give it like a all in all, big picture, like 7.5 out of 10. And that takes nothing away from him. It's more that just like some of the shit just isn't funny.
I have to say that. Right. Though,
and that's something to blame to him.
No,
for.
No, it's not him.
SNL.
Yeah.
Even though he, like, the skits might not have been that funny, I was actually impressed by like his acting.
No, he's a good, like, he's a good actor. Yeah. He did a good job. Everything that he did, I thought he was really, really impressive. It's just like, it's just, he's got to work with the material he's given. He definitely made the best out of what he was given.
Yeah, I didn't see really much of it. I saw the Kevin thing. I saw a little of his performance, which obviously he looked, I saw him and his muscles bursting out, beaming, obviously, which he looked great. The thing with SNL, and I know I talk about it often, it's just not as funny as it once was. And I feel like I am biased, obviously, because I work here, but like at Barstool, I'm like, every single person here is funnier than the writers at SNL. Like, I'm just like, they would come up with a skit that is 100 times better than what these people produce for Nick Jonas.
I get confused because individually, all of these people are so funny. Like, especially a lot of the new cast members that were recently cast on Saturday Night Live are so funny. Like, you go to their Instagrams and the things that are producing on Instagram, hilarious. And yet I don't understand how when you get all of these very funny people together and the product is just not that funny. Like, I don't know. It's confusing. I don't get it. You got to watch this Boner song, like, because it's just like, I don't know if it was supposed to be like, let's do something a little Lonely Island-esque and see if it clicks. It just wasn't, it's just not there. I don't know. It's just a problem with some of the stuff they produce. Cause I don't watch every episode, but I watch often enough where I definitely still laugh. And I think we've watched together, Rhea, where you've watched me laugh at skits and you're like, friend, this is just so not funny. Why are you laughing? So I'm the one who's like, if anyone out there is still laughing, it's okay. Because a lot of the time I am also still laughing, but this episode was tougher. I just didn't even think any of them were really that funny.
There have been times where I've been with Fran on a Saturday night where she throws on Saturday Night Live and I'm just like, I'm laughing at how much Fran is laughing. Like, and I'm not like, if you think it's funny, that's completely fine. You know, not everyone's going to find the same things funny. That's just life. Yeah. It's amazing though to see, like, it's, there was one time where it was actually Harry Styles when he was on.
Yes.
And his performances were great, obviously. And some of the skits he did were good, I would say. Yeah. But there was one skit that was so painfully
unfunny.
Oh,
I remember you bringing this up on the podcast.
Like, right.
Like, and she was on the ground or something.
I was laughing.
And so, Fran was just like belly laughing. And I was like, are we watching the same thing here? Like, I got a kick out of it just because I was like, it's funny to watch Fran like be so joyous at this very, what I find unfunny skit. But if you find it funny, there's clearly other people out there that are laughing as well. You know, it's not like,
absolutely.
It's not like I make the rules on what's funny and not funny. Like, you know, people find different things funny. So
yeah,
if you're still laughing at SNL,
I think the Weekend Update is always good. And Colin Jost, I think, is really funny.
I think the Weekend Update is the only thing that I would still like chuckle at a little bit. Yeah. I've seen some in the past few months that I have found funny, but yeah, some of the skits are tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. But all in all, I think Nick did a great job and performances were, like I said, absolutely amazing. I'm very, very excited for the whole album.
unfortunately, this past weekend, Rachel Lindsay deactivated her Instagram. And we also got the news about who will be hosting the After the Final Rose, which is Emmanuel Acho. Friend, you know more about him than I do because he was a past Eagles player, right?
Yes. So he played on the Philadelphia Eagles. He also played, I want to say, on the Browns. I think he was maybe drafted by the Browns, but now he is an analyst. He's on Fox Sports, and he's not only a football analyst, but he's also an activist. He has a book titled Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. He also does a web series. I think if people were to recognize this, he did an episode with Matthew McConaughey. That was probably the biggest one that got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of people talked about it. If you haven't watched it, it's a great episode of it. You can just Google it and find it. And it's great. And so he is on TV. He is, you know, he has that experience where he of speaking on TV and doing all those things where this is, I think, a great fit for the live show. It shows that they're taking this seriously and hopefully want to have an actual conversation, you know, like they, and this has nothing, this does not take away from, you know, the past contestants who have on The Bachelor, who they thought like maybe would do something like this. You know, people were talking about Wells and JoJo and like, they're great. We love them as people, but like, they like I wouldn't have wanted JoJo hosting this, you know. It just didn't make any sense to me. This was the right move. I think he can handle this moment and he can guide Matt and whatever women he is with through this conversation, have like a legit real conversation. The idea of seeing Emmanuel and Matt James being able to talk this out together seems great. I think that's we'll get the best outcome out of that.
Right. I'm excited. Yeah. Like, I'm truthfully excited because I feel like this is going to be a very, very interesting After the Final Rose.
Yeah.
So different than anything we've ever seen before, especially on ABC and The Bachelor and this franchise. Yes, they've had some more conversations throughout The Bachelorette last season and a little bit during this season of The Bachelor. I wouldn't say as much as The Bachelorette, where we saw a lot more. I'm excited. I think it's going to be very interesting and enlightening. And I think everyone's going to learn something from it. And I think that, you know, this is what they had to do. If they put JoJo, well, somebody like that, who is just another, you know, white person speaking about these things, it just wouldn't make sense. They don't know what it's like. They're not going to be able to speak with experience, where he will be able to speak with experience. So it's going to be, I think, enlightening and And exciting for the franchise as a whole, because they're obviously trying here. What's upsetting is that Rachel Lindsay deactivated her Instagram this past weekend. Now, I just think that regardless of how you feel, nobody should be spewing hate as much as they do so frequently on the internet these days, you know?
Yeah.
It's so easy and accessible for everybody to be doing that. And it's become so normalized. And so I feel like it's become a conversation where, you know, Rachel Lindsay, she's getting all this hate because people think she's the reason that Chris Harrison is fired or whatever he may be at this point. I don't know if he's exactly fired, but it seems like they're moving along.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison did that to himself. Rachel Lindsay was doing her job, had an interview at her job at Extra with Chris Harrison. She did not do anything for this. You know what I mean? Like, it was Chris Harrison doing this to himself. Like, Rachel Lindsay did not do this to Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
So I think that's crazy that people think that. I think it's crazy, like I said, that it's just so normalized for people to hate on the internet that when somebody does get a lot of hate, and somebody like Rachel Lindsay gets a lot of hate, people will say, oh, come on, you know, it's the, you have to expect that. You have to expect the hate. It's the internet. Everybody's going to hate. But at what point does it just become intolerable? You know, at what point do you say that's enough? You're getting these, I'm sure she has gotten some horrendous, horrendous messages sent her way for her to deactivate her Instagram. At what point does it become just be a little bit of a better human? Like what is it doing for you? And if you're listening to this and you're somebody who sent a hate message before, what are you gaining from it? Really nothing. You don't gain anything. You gain the person deactivating their Instagram. Does that make you feel good? Because it shouldn't make you feel good. There's nothing to gain from spewing that kind of hate on social media that people do these days, but it's become so normal that people just, you know, everyone has an opinion. Everybody has, you know, access to reading all those opinions as well. Everyone can say whatever they want. I don't think everybody was designed to be this accessible to people, you know, like it's weird. It's weird how normalized it is. And I understand in some aspects where it's like me and you, right? Like we do a podcast, we'll get some people hating on it here and there. That's fine. It's just a pop culture podcast. You don't like it. That's whatever. But when you are sending like very, very hateful, racist messages to somebody, it's a problem.
Yeah, I don't. You saw a lot of people in Bachelor Nation write messages on social media this weekend about Rachel deactivating and, you know, saying things like, if you are someone who's done this before, like, be better, do better. Rachel Kirkconnell posted about Rachel Lindsay deactivating her Instagram, and she had said in the Instagram post that she had posted last week, just like defending her. She just doesn't want to hear that. She's like, if you are going to do that in my comments or message me, like, stop. I just don't, let's stop that. And she, it's crazy that you can disagree with someone so much that you feel the need to message them terrible, hateful things. That is just, it's unproductive. You're not doing anything. You're not having a conversation. You're not actually hearing other people's opinions or learning or talking or anything. You just send gross, hateful messages. And it clearly had to get bad for Rachel to deactivate her Instagram, which is, you know, she does so many things, her podcast, Extra, these things. But Instagram is a place of business for her, you know, like she makes money on her Instagram and promotions and doing those things. So for her to cut that off right now also shows just how bad it must have gotten. And I saw, like, I obviously we don't know exactly what messages were being sent to her, but just seeing some replies on Twitter and people talking about it and seeing what people were saying in open public replies on Twitter is crazy. It's just like terrible racist commentary, and it's horrible that it got so bad that she feels like she can't even be on the app right now.
Right. And I feel like some people will say, oh, you know, oh, poor Rachel, somebody who makes a living off Instagram or whatever. Like, that's a job these days. And yeah, if people don't, you know, if people don't like it or whatever, fine. I feel like people who don't like it or judge it are jealous that they don't make their living that way, which is also fine. You know, some people have it easier than others, and I'm not saying it's easier or Rachel has it easier, because she definitely doesn't. But I feel like some people who would look at somebody who like makes money off Instagram and they would just write it off as like, oh, yeah, you know, they just roll their eyes at it. So I think that's silly. And also at the end of the day, the internet is always going to be a place now where you could share your opinion, right? We're never going to fully get rid of trolls. That's never going to be a thing. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you can, or we can, or any, if you can just take that bit of advice and apply it to your life, if you are somebody who leaves hateful messages, a little bit can help, you know? A little bit can help. And I'm not saying everybody has to agree on everything, because that's not going to work. But there's a difference between disagreeing on something and like just being downright hateful and disgusting.
And using terrible words, like it's
right. There's just you can message disgusting commentary versus like disagreeing. They're two totally different things. Just like being hateful and disgusting and sending these just gross messages that are extremely hurtful, and then disagreeing are just like, it's not really in the same
world, although. Yeah, like if you, nobody's saying you can't like disagree with someone. And if you think like, okay, you know, I feel the need to comment something about this. Okay, you can do it in a way that's not, fuck you, I hope you die, like you're disgusting. And I, words that I'm can't even say out loud on on this podcast that I'm sure, you know, Rachel was getting. And it is, it's an even deeper look because so much of it is now just uncovering how much racism and history of racism there has been within this franchise, that it's just like, Rachel's like, I've been dealing with this for so long, and there's never really been the support there for her. And people are like, well, she got her platform, like her job she got from this show, like how dare she speak poorly about the show, and like she wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the show. Like that why does that mean that she should be able to just fucking eat shit from random people all day every day saying terrible things to her? Like, I don't really think the two cancel each other out.
Yeah, and that's the excuse people use all the time when they're like, well, you signed up for it. It's like, okay, yeah, in some ways I did, but in other ways I didn't. Like I also feel like people don't realize that they don't sound intelligent whatsoever. Like when you are sending a hateful, disgusting message because you think you're right and the other person's wrong, you just sound even more wrong because of how disgusting you sound. You don't sound smart at all. Yeah. You sound disgusting. You sound, but you don't sound good. So like, how do you think you're even getting your point across of what you think you may be right about? You're not, you sound like an idiot. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, I think hopefully she'll make her way back. I would hate that some, you know, people would really just kick her off the app. And I think I think Rachel Lindsay will always come back stronger than the people who push her down, always. And I think we've seen that from her. But it is sad to see that how far people can go. And just not even with comments, people will track down family members. They'll track down your address. They'll find things about you that are not public. People are sick. They're really sick on the internet. Yeah. So I think it goes, if you think that this was just like, oh, you know, she was, you know, she got scared off Instagram and deactivated, you got to think a little harder about like what it's actually like to be on the receiving end of those things and be like almost terrified for your life in some way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, you know, we love Rachel. Rachel has only been amazing to us and being on our show. And she is such a sweet person. So, you know, we're thinking of her, and hopefully she does come back and is able to deal with this all. There has been an outpouring of support for her right now, which has been great because she deserves it. And I'm hoping we get a really good conversation out of this after the final rose. A lot of people were commenting on his Instagram. You know, Matt James commented on Emmanuel Acho's Instagram that when he announced that he was doing this, and wrote, you know, looking forward to it. And he, even in the caption, he has spoke about how he took this job and he's hosting the after the final rose. It's been a pivotal season. And then he did a little about me so people could learn about him. And the last thing he said was, lastly, I love being a bridge for reconciliation. Our world is disconnected and divided. My goal is to unify. So that's great. It's a great message. And hopefully with this After the Final Rose show, we feel like we have a good conversation, good constructive conversation.
Yeah. And I will also add, if you are one of those people who is mad about this decision and you don't think that Chris Harrison should have been replaced or whatever it is, because I know there are some people listening who may feel that way, I just ask you to just open up your mind a little bit to it. You know, why be so against it? Why? What's the point? Just open up your mind to it, listen to what they have to say, and you may learn something. You may end up feeling differently in the end.
From mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great news. We talked about this on Friday. Lady Gaga's dogs were stolen and the dog walker was shot. Great news from all sides. One, Ryan Fisher, the dog walker, his family says that he is going to be okay. They expect him to make a full recovery. He's still in the hospital. He's doing well, which is great news. And two, the dogs were returned. Now, the people who did this, the men who did this, are still at large because I guess this is the.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.